You are listening to episode number 108 of Conjuring Up Courage, and the Girl Gang is ready to hit you with our best life hacks. To be clear, when I say life hacks, what I mean are tidbits that we have found helpful in our own lives and want to share in case you find them helpful too. And even if you don't find them particularly useful, you can always count on being entertained when the Girl Gang is on deck. To access the show notes and a full transcript of this episode, head to shoredavity.com/108. That's shoredavity.com/108. This episode is brought to you in part by Ample and Rooted, an inclusive therapy practice that provides an affirming and welcoming home for diverse individuals to reclaim their inherent worth. The folks at Ample and Rooted created a guided meditation on cultivating self-trust just for listeners, and it's available in the show notes for this episode. This is Conjuring Up Courage, and I'm your host, Shore Davidi. As a self-trust coach, I help people come home to themselves so they can be more of who they are and less haunted by who they think they're supposed to be. I created this podcast to celebrate what's possible when you commit to being brave. You'll hear from diverse guests who are refusing to let fear and self-doubt stop them from building fulfilling lives and creating a better world for everyone. I'll also teach you my favorite tools, strategies, and mindset shifts so you can do the same. Consider this your invitation to stop living according to shoulds and to step into your motherfucking magic instead. Stay open, get curious, and let's grow together. Hello, Girl Gang. How is everyone doing on this oh so fine July evening?
Hi.
Hi.
There was a question there, wasn't it?
It's July.
Well, the question wasn't July. The question is, how are you doing on this July evening?
When you said it, I was like, it's not July, but it totally is.
It's so. July 20th. Thank you very much.
Oh my God.
I hate it so much.
I feel like it's April.
I'm still stuck in March of 2020. Like, let's just be real about it.
Does that tell you how we're doing?
I mean, the pandemic is literally picking back up again. So it's just like Groundhog Day where I'm like, oh, the never ending.
No, we're not going to talk about that.
I'm not in a mental place to talk about that. So.
All right. So the answer is not doing well.
No, I would say I am doing well, but okay. Well with an asterisk that if anything goes wrong.
Hanging on by a thread.
Yeah. I'm doing well. I just can't face the idea of like another year of pandemic, which mm-hmm. I wouldn't say yeah. is doing badly. I would just say is like tired.
Mm-hmm. Yes, constant exhaustion. Sounds accurate.
Yeah, but other than that, pretty good, pretty great, thriving.
Yeah. I mean, I've got my help now.
Now, oh my gosh, yeah, both of us are coming off of a rough week, huh?
I know. Yeah. I was just telling my therapist this morning that both y'all were sick, and I'm like, I swear to God, if I get sick next, I will scream.
I don't want you to get sick. It was no fun.
Unfortunately, our sicknesses were unrelated, and also we didn't see you in person, so.
Exactly. Yeah. So it would be random, but you know, it would just be like one Girl Gang member at a time down with illness, so it could happen.
For the listeners, I had strep throat, which was a delight, and a person had their tongue in my mouth, and they did not get strep throat. So
pretty impressive.
I don't know if I'm just not that contagious or I just have the worst immune system, but
or they have an amazing immune system.
God, that's not, I mean, good for them.
I'm just having this weird, horrible image of like a dragon with their tongue down your throat. Ollie, I don't know why.
That's what it's like when I kiss. Yeah.
Just like fire breathing.
I unhinge my jaw.
No.
And he sticks his whole head in my mouth.
Stop. This sounds like a freaking horror movie.
And that's how we kiss. So.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Not to kink shame, but ow.
It's very sensual, okay? It's intimate. It's the moment. I don't know.
I am the moment off the fucking rails.
This is par for the course, honestly. I feel like Girl Gang, the layout is like 5 to 10 minutes of just like unhinged chaos.
Unhinged Jaws.
Jaws unhinged as well before we ever get to the point. And if you don't expect that from a Girl Gang episode, then...
I also feel like the more episodes we do, the less we give a fuck. So
that's true. And I think we're more efficient about it because it only took one question for us to go off the rails today. I think it usually takes like 15 minutes.
Is that efficiency or is that...
Well, it depends on how you define efficiency. It's a version of efficiency. We are efficient at losing the point.
Yeah, good for us.
Wow.
On the note of efficiency.
Yes. Clearly, we are the worst people ever to be recording this episode, but today we are going to talk about life hacks. And let me just say off the bat that I'm just using the phrase life hacks because I think it is a quick way of getting the point across of what we're going to be talking about. We're not going to be talking about like San Francisco tech bro life hacking of like how to only work 4 hours and live the rest of your life on vacation, where the way to do that is that you have rich parents who gave you a trust fund. And so you can do whatever you want with your life. That's not the life hacking we're doing.
I legitimately want to know how to do that, though.
Yeah, right. How do I do that?
Be born rich and white and male and straight. That is the answer.
Also, this is not like 5 minute crafts, Pinterest. Like,
yes, correct.
Have you ever seen those videos on Facebook? Sorry, this is a tangent, but like I come across these on social media and it's these videos where it's like you do 100,000 steps in the name of a life hack. And in the end, it's like, how is this any easier than just doing the actual thing? I don't know. That's what I was thinking.
But here's the thing. See, we were trying to like pre-plan this and in the group chat, it was like, let's reframe this question because we all know how to eat a fucking cupcake. It's, we don't need another Gizmodo list. But like,
yes, exactly.
It's like the idea that this life hack that I'm going to give you is for everybody can do this because I really hate those. But like, it's kind of the idea that the things that we are doing that are helpful to us in life aren't necessarily going to be helpful for every single person who comes across them. But for some person out there, that is the most efficient way. Like, we're not efficiency shaming people. Just because one person does it this way and another person does it this way doesn't make either way more valid. Like, all of these things are valid. It's just that these were helpful to me once and maybe they'll be helpful to somebody else.
Yeah, like when I pitched this to y'all in the group chat, I want to call it the Girl Gang Talks Life Hacks. But what I mean by that is just like any tidbits or advice you've been given that you found really helpful or like small changes that you've made in different parts of your life that have made a difference and have made things easier. Like, that's what I mean when I'm talking about a life hack. And like you said, Tiff, just because it's something that works for us doesn't mean it will work for every single person who is listening. But some people might be like, oh, I hadn't thought about that that way or hadn't heard of that thing. And they might have that same sort of light bulb moment that we had when we learned about the thing. And along the way, it will be entertaining as fuck, which you all come to expect from these episodes. So should be a good time.
Awesome. Also way more on brand.
Yes.
Again, I don't think anybody comes to us for like, these people seem like they really have their shit together.
I mean, that's the thing though, is like we were sitting there in the group chat being like we're going to talk about things that are helpful in life. And I'm like, I feel like I am failing at adulting on a daily basis. I am by far no means an expert, but here we are.
That's what we offer to people, y'all, that like having your shit together isn't a thing. Like having your shit together is this made up.
Yeah, that's the real life hack here.
Yeah, seriously, because so often I've used that phrase and I've stopped using this idea of like, oh, have my shit together. Because I'm like, what the fuck does that even really mean? Like, it's just me holding myself to a standard that is way too high and doesn't make any sense.
This is true.
I think there's this idea that once you get your shit together, quote unquote, it will stay together, which is absolutely yes. not the case. Like having your shit together does not mean like, all right, I'm good for the whole rest of my life. Like there will be times where you feel like you're on the cusp of having your shit together. And there'll be times where you're like, my shit is in 12 different states right now.
Yeah. The idea that life isn't a race. There aren't any winners. It's like everybody reaches the same finish line eventually, but
which is the grave.
Yes. We all die alone.
Spooky.
It's very.
Not if I take someone down with me.
Optimistic nihilism is a real thing. And we can all have a heady sense of like, we're all going to the same place anyways. And so We should be living as authentically as possible. And the idea of living authentically means something different for everybody, but we shouldn't hold everyone else to our own standards. And, you know, that is the real life hack, Troy. It really is.
I'm so welcome. I could offer everyone an actual important life hack before we get into this other bullshit. Which, let's get into that bullshit. Why the fuck not?
Let's get into it.
Okay, so I've essentially broken this down into three, like, general, very loose categories so that we have some organizational structure here, but don't hold us to them too much. But we're going to start in what I'm going to call the health and beauty category, which is sort of a category you hear in magazines or in stores or whatever. These things mostly kind of, I would say, fit into that category, but this is just sort of the general lifestyle category. And so let's first fucking talk about eyeliner.
Yes.
I love eyeliner.
Okay, but you do though.
No,
you
I really do.
Allie's so good at her eyeliner. I'm so jealous. Aww. But you have so many years of experience, as you're always telling me, Allie. And so don't hold myself up to your winged eyeliner skills, because I just started like a year ago. So I'm still learning.
It's true. I got into the winged eyeliner game when I was like maybe 16. And I'm 28 now. And I don't think there's been a time since then that I've done my eyeliner and I haven't winged it. So my big tip is practice, obviously. But one thing that I do that I think is actually really good for if you're a beginner is I do my non-dominant eye first. So for me, I'm left-handed. So my non-dominant eye is my right eye. I think for most people, it's probably their left eye. But I do that one first because that way it's much easier for me to mimic whatever shape ends up happening on that eye with my good eye. Because if you think about it, like if you start with your good eye and then you go over to your bad eye and you're like, how the fuck am I going to do this? But if you start with your bad eye, then whatever ends up happening on that eye, then you're like, oh, okay, I can recreate this much easier. So I feel like that works pretty well. I feel like it's a good tip.
When you told me that tip, it blew my mind. I had never thought to do that. And my eyes are significantly different prescriptions. So like I legitimately have an eye that is way worse in sight than the other. And I would always do my good eye first because it was easier, right?
It
just default to doing the easy one. And then I'd be like, oh, fuck, how am I going to do the other one? And it's so much easier when you start with the bad eye because I'm just like, all right, whatever happened there, it is what it is. And now I can like actually see what I'm doing with the other eye.
Going kind of forward with that, I would also say that I think some people focus really hard on creating the exact same shape on each eye. And that's how you end up with the like, oh, just a touch here. Now just a touch over here. And then all of a sudden you have a gigantic wing and it's like out of control. So I would say more that the goal is that each wing has the same effect. Like look at yourself in the mirror and look head on and you're like, okay, are these going the same direction and are they the same size? Yes. Okay.
Because most people aren't going to like see the nitty gritty that you see.
Yes, exactly.
Also for most people, like their eyes are not the same shape.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not symmetrical. Like one of my eyes is significantly lower than the other. So it's virtually impossible.
One of mine is squintier than the other.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what it's really about is creating the same effect. And like you said, Troy, nobody else is going to be probably sitting there looking at like, does the left wing match the right perfectly?
Right. Because when you do eyeliner, you're like up in the mirror real close. And it's like people who are looking at your makeup are seeing like the effect from a little bit further away at least.
Yeah. So that's another thing I do is like I do my bad eye, then I do my good eye, and then I step away from the mirror and like look at myself and I make sure I'm looking like exactly straight on. And I'm like, okay, are they going in the same direction and are they the same size? And that's like what I shoot for rather than like, is this one an exact mirrored image of the other eye? Because like you said, Tiff, our faces are not symmetrical. So
yeah, unless you're a weird lizard person.
Yeah. Even if you could copy paste your eyeliner from one eye to the other, it would still probably look a little bit different.
And on the topic of liner and kind of putting it on, I didn't realize that some people don't know about these, but they actually make precision tip Q-tips. So they come to a point. And I have tons of those with all my makeup stuff because they're so much easier to work with eyeliner when you need to fix a mistake and you're trying to get some eyeliner off your face. I use those precision tip ones because the regular Q-tips are like way too chunky to get a nice line. So if you didn't know that those exist, get yourself some precision tip Q-tips because they rock.
I didn't even know that they existed.
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad I could tell you. They're so amazing.
Yeah. The other thing I've seen people do is take a makeup wipe and just like run it along the bottom of the like wing. But I think the Q-tips are probably better.
Yeah. And if it's really bad, like I will put some like micellar water. Is that how you say that? I literally have no idea how to pronounce
it. I alternate between micellar and micellar. I don't know which one it is. Right.
Whatever the water is.
I'm just like, what kind of water here? What?
It's a kind of makeup remover.
Micellar.
Yeah, it's like micellar. Maybe.
Yeah.
I think.
Micellar.
I think that's right.
Yeah. So I use that as the first step in taking makeup off. Like I have like bamboo pads and I do that. And then I wash my face after, but it like helps get the makeup off initially. So you can put some on your little precision tip Q-tip to help make your line a little bit nicer. Because sometimes you don't need to put on more eyeliner. What you need to do is just like use something to make it more of a shape.
Yes, that's a good tip too, because I feel like the instinct is just to add and add and add, and then all of a sudden you have two black eyes.
Sometimes you're better just like taking it back to like the edge of your eye and just being like, okay, we're just going to take away what we did here and we're going to try again with this like swoop part.
Yes.
Speaking of shapes, I was going to mention the bat wing eyeliner, because not only are eyes like different places, but our eyes are vastly different shapes in terms of like eyelids and stuff.
Yeah.
And like for people that have hooded eyes like mine.
Like me.
Yeah. Because Allie's eye canvas is way different than the rest of ours.
Very different.
I think I discovered this on TikTok. Anyways, instead of doing like cat's eyes, because when you have your hooded eye, like the cat wing is going to basically disappear into your hood. And like inevitably, like in order to compensate for that, you draw like this humongous line. And so you end up with two black eyes. And the thing is like you go up halfway and you make from where your hood stops down to your edge of your lid, you're basically making like a wing, but it's a wide wing instead of a little wing. So you've got this big wide wing down half of a third of your lid if you're being a coward. And then you take that out to a point. And so you end up with this really cool shape on your lid when you've got your lids down. But when you open your eyes, it actually still looks like a cat eye or a winged eyeliner. It's very cool.
It looks super cool when you do it, Tiff. I haven't tried it yet. I also have hooded eyes. I prefer the regular wing, but I will say that I was so much less hard on myself when I realized that the fact that I have hooded eyes is what makes doing a wing so much harder than somebody else. I was like, oh, this is why this is such a struggle, because I'm literally trying to draw over my fucking brow bone every time I'm doing my eyeliner, which makes it very bumpy and hard to get a smooth shape.
Well, it's like, I didn't think that there was anything wrong with having like ginormous thick line, because it's goth. Like, that's what we do.
Yes, correct. Goth and emo.
Goth and emo. We just basically, if you didn't look like a small like puppy dog with big black eye sockets, you were doing it wrong.
Confirmed.
I feel like I should have figured this out before somehow. I was never a very experimental goth. I just did the thing and was like black eyeliner and black lipstick. But like, you know, there's like lots of really cool decorative shapes that you can draw into your face. And I was never one of those people. So I'm not surprised I didn't come up with the bat wing.
I mean, I'm sure it's been around for a while, but I don't know that it's been like a popularized style up until recently. I think in general, I would say like graphic eyeliner is more in right now.
I am really loving the graphic eyeliner though.
I mean, it's funny because I don't think I've ever been alive in a time when graphic eyeliner was a thing really, although I could be wrong. The 90s did happen and I was there for it.
Because 90s was more like, well, I don't
blue.
Know.
Like it depends on what part of the 90s you're talking about.
Like, yeah. And like what scene you were in really. Because like I think of like 90s supermodel makeup being very in, like, you know, the Cindy Crawford, like kind of like soft glam.
Yeah.
Also, I was a child in the 90s. I don't think I had up to date all of the trends of the 90s.
The only person I can think of wearing like decorative eyeliner in any sort of popular way in the 90s was, Frieza Balk in The Craft with like her witch makeup. I don't know. Mm.
I also think that like the quality of makeup has increased so much.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Like how could you do graphic liner in 1995 when all we had was like pencil liners and like coal?
Paintbrushes is probably it. Like the tools that we had back then were limited.
Yes.
Also, like I think that the quality of makeup just like in a lower price range has also changed.
Oh,
because
for sure.
100%.
The stuff that they had available back at like the drugstore was pretty terrible and then started to shift so that even though it's not necessarily at the same price point to stay like Wet n Wild, you can actually get legitimate good quality for a lower cost.
Yeah.
I remember going to the department store with my mom back in the 90s to buy makeup. You know, she was like, it's just better quality. And God, she's paying like $50 for a tiny little pot. What's that thing called where you put it on your face?
Foundation.
Yes, that one.
I'm glad you got that, Allie. I was like, which kind of thing?
I got you. We're on the same brain.
Way wavelength.
Yeah.
One of the brands that all three of us really like is ColourPop. And they put out like really great palettes for an extremely affordable price, especially for all the colors you can get. Like I got their big rainbow palette and it's less than $40 and has a shit ton of colors. Like I'm obsessed with it. Actually, I guess this is a good, I don't even know if this is life hack worthy, but I think something that is helpful to know in the world of makeup is that like, depending on your skin tone, like that's going to determine some of the colors and like how they look on you. And I've figured out a lot of this just by experimenting where I realized like, oh, cool tones actually like look like crap on me. And I'm not saying that in like a I look bad or something's wrong with me way. I'm just saying it in like a, that color palette like just looks very odd on my skin.
Yeah,
there's not for my skin. So like I've given palettes to like Tiffany because she has a very different skin color than me and they look amazing on her where I'm just like, oh, yeah, that makes sense because you lean more cool toned and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is helpful to know like what your skin tone is when you're picking out different kinds of colors because everyone can wear color. It's not like, oh, I just cannot wear color, but colors come in a vast array of shades. And I found that like I enjoy my looks a lot more once I found the colors that look like really amazing on me. Like I've discovered that like light purples like look fucking awesome on my skin tone.
When I was trying to determine my skin tone, I remember like looking things up on the internet and there was all these weird tests that were like, do you look better in silver or gold? And I remember being like 15 and being like, I don't know. I mean,
such a weird thing. But I look better in gold. So
I do too, but like, I don't know. I think at the time, like silver was really trendy. So I was like, I don't know which one
exactly.
I look better in. I think I own more silver. And then it was like, do your veins look blue or do they look green? And
wait,
I was like,
that was a question?
Yes.
Yeah. That's so and weird.
I was like, mine look purple. What does that mean?
Like, mine look purple too.
Yeah. I don't remember which one is which because I am very warm toned. I know that now.
You and I both are. So that makes sense that our veins are similarly colored, I guess.
We have purple veins. So maybe it's blue veins or
so fucking
warm.
Weird.
I don't know. But yeah.
Blue veins are more cool tones because I have blue veins.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
This is fascinating.
I don't think the vein thing means anything because I am very warm. Like I lean very towards the warm side. And for me, the thing that made it finally click in my head is that my undertones are yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And most people with cool skin tones, like their undertones are more like pinky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And mine are golden.
Yeah.
We hope that you enjoyed those random makeup tips. And also all genders can wear amazing makeup. So those of you out there listening, maybe you don't identify as a woman, you can totally wear makeup and we will cheer you on fucking doing it. So do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love seeing like everybody of all genders in makeup because it's just so fun. And if makeup's not your thing, that's totally fine too. But I just think it's really fun.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Moving on from makeup, Tiff wants to tell us about a sauce and Allie and I are in total suspense. We have no idea what this is about. So we are also going to listen with all of you with excitement.
So I make a lot of Asian inspired foods and I found this recipe. It's called Charlie sauce, but it's because it's called Charlie Brown sauce. It's like, if you go to a Chinese food restaurant, they are not making a new batch of sauce every single time they do an entree. They have this like huge like jar of base and then they just add the flavor to it. And this is what Charlie Brown sauce is. It's basically like the base of most popular sauces that you can actually make a large pot ahead of time and then stick it in your fridge. And whenever you want to make like a stir fry or some noodles or whatever, you get out the Charlie sauce, and it's 2-to-1 ratio of Charlie sauce and water. So like 2 water to 1 Charlie sauce. And for like a normal 2-person meal, it's like 3 tablespoons of Charlie sauce and 6 tablespoons of water. It's not a lot. You take the base and then you add what flavors you want. So like you could do like peanut sauce, you add like peanut butter and your like chili sauce to the Charlie sauce base and you stir it up and it's like instant peanut sauce. You want to do like miso sauce, you just take some miso and some like soy sauce and you add it into the Charlie sauce. Okay, but the Charlie sauce is like legit, like it's soy sauce, sesame oil. I'll find the link to the recipe.
Cool. We'll definitely include a recipe in the show notes for everyone.
But it's like, it stays in your fridge for fucking ever. It's so easy because listen, I've got depression. Sometimes it's really hard to cook. So it's like, all you have to do is like boil a pot of noodles and then take a chili sauce base and make the flavor you want. I really legitimately just like take some black bean and just throw it in there with some soy glaze and it's so easy. Add vegetables.
Can I ask why it's called Charlie sauce?
Because it's Charlie Brown sauce. It's just a brown base for, you know.
Oh, so it's just brown.
It's just brown. It's just a brown base.
I was like sitting here being like, why is it called Charlie sauce? Like,
because it's basically brown sauce, but it's okay for like everything.
So the joke is that it's Charlie Brown?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shori's not impressed by that.
It could be called whatever it wants, but you're correct. I'm not impressed.
Aww.
No, I'm impressed by the sauce. I'm not impressed by the name.
I thought maybe it had something to do with Charlie Brown. Like Charlie Brown was right, the first one to like make it or something. Or like,
I don't know. It's just this unassuming brown sauce. I don't know that. I didn't name it.
Like, we're not blaming you for our hatred of the name.
I'm not on Team Shore. I don't hate the name. I'm somewhere in the middle of the spectrum, I suppose. I'm a little underwhelmed.
Okay, well, I don't hate it either. I'm underwhelmed.
I mean, first of all, I like the name Charlie because it's just one of those names that they associate with funny things. Like, not funny in a like, bad ha-ha way. I mean, like, it's a joyful name. Charlie. Get a candy bag, Charlie.
Yeah, but that is a very scary video. Not a joyful video.
Not.
It's terrifying.
Okay.
Well, it's funny and terrifying.
Again, that's like the spectrum between the three of us is like, I think it's like a cute, adorable video.
That is not a cute, adorable video. It is demonic.
It's bold.
Tiff thinks it's like scary and cute. And Shori just thinks it's horrible. That's the perfect summation of the three of our personalities.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I guess I have to link to that video for the youngins who are like, what the fuck are they talking about? Because we're old. Okay. As long as we're talking about food. Okay, so this is going to sound silly, but I'm going to say it anyways because I've worked with enough clients by now to know that not enough people to see this, but snacks are a life hack. And let me defend this, which is that I have worked with so many clients who like have been brainwashed to think that like snacks are bad and that they shouldn't eat snacks. And I'm like, y'all, I understand where that comes from because diet and wellness culture is a bitch, but also snacks are not bad. Snacks are sustenance. And if you need an easy thing to be able to eat that's like quick, like having a snack is totally fine. And like it can be chips or it can be nuts or it can be applesauce or yogurt or candy or like whatever bajillion kinds of snacks out there. But like there's something about this idea of a snack that like people have gotten afraid of because diet culture has basically been like, oh, you should never be eating like between meals and your meals should look exactly like this. And like this idea that all snack foods are quote unquote unhealthy and quote unquote bad for you. And I'm like, y'all, no. Snacks are amazing. If I didn't eat snacks, like there would be days I didn't eat because ADHD and I'm on medication that kills my appetite and other various things. And so I love having a variety of snack foods around because if I do not have the energy or ability to make a meal, I know that I have something that I can still eat. When I don't have snacks is when things get really bad in my house, because then I'm like scrounging around and I have nothing to eat. So I know for myself that like I always need to have snacks, and I never feel bad about eating snacks. I have no guilt related to snacks. I'm like, I am feeding myself. I am nourishing my body. It does not matter what the thing is that I'm eating. Like, this is a way that I'm getting food into my body. So I'm just throwing that out there for anyone who may be like afraid of snacks.
I would follow this up and say an addendum, because I think 101%, like you said, like ADHD standpoint, but also from like a depression standpoint, your brain is trying to keep you from taking care of yourself. Like, mm-hmm. if you don't have a lot of capacity for doing things, like if you don't have a lot of capacity for doing things, like you have to decide, like, I need to get this thing done, so I'm going to do it, but at the capacity level that I have. So like, if you need to eat and you can't cook, order takeout. Do the thing that helps you get the sustenance into your body, like the most low effort thing. So like, say you have a little bit more capacity for a little bit more you can cook, but you can't like make a full meal, make some instant oatmeal. Like, find the path of least resistance to getting the food into your body.
Eating something is always better than eating nothing.
Yeah, I will say I at all times have a frozen pizza in my freezer.
Oh, yes. I love having frozen pizzas.
Frozen pizza is not a go-to for me, but when I need it, I need it. And then I'm like so glad that I have it.
And like Shrey said earlier, like I think that it's really important to like say, if you are getting food in your body, if you are nourishing yourself, if the only thing that you have at hand is a pack of trolley sour gummy worms, then eat the fucking trolley sour gummy worms. Eat the thing that helps you get energy, helps you fuel you.
Yeah. You know how they say that for babies, like
fed is best.
Yeah, fed is best. It's like that for grown-ups too.
It is like that for grown-ups.
It's better that you eat something than nothing.
I literally remember like when I was in a really rough period in my divorce, like talking to my therapist, and I was like, yeah, I was like, I finally made it to the grocery store and I just like filled my cart with frozen foods and like chips and snacks and all this stuff. Cause I was like, I don't have time to cook right now. And I am having a hard time like stomaching other stuff. And so this is what I did. And she's like, good. She's like, I'm so glad that you did that for yourself and that you're going to have all these foods that you can eat. Like, I always have tons of like Amy's frozen meals in my freezer. I always try to have a bunch of those because sometimes the only thing I can stomach is like an Amy's frozen mac and cheese or whatever other options that I might have in there. So I like to make sure that those are available, because sometimes you just have those days. And like, yes, in an ideal world, would I like to have a more quote unquote balanced meal where I'm getting fruits and vegetables and grains and whatever other stuff? Yes. But my life happens in ups and downs and cycles and all these different things where sometimes like I'm really with it with my food. I'm doing a lot of cooking. I'm getting a lot of variety. And other times I'm just trying to fucking survive. And when I'm just trying to fucking survive, like I just need to get calories into my body and I don't care so much what those calories are made of.
Oh my God. That just like took me back to a place, Shrey, where like I think for maybe like 3 to 4 months after a like serious breakup in my life, I would have literally peanut butter on a spoon for like a meal, which obviously, it's not a full meal, but it's like, if I don't do that, I'm not going to eat anything. So like, I need these calories in my body. And I think I lived on frozen food and Panda Express for maybe 6 months after that breakup.
Yeah, I mean, I won't lie. It's been almost a year since we got divorced and I'm still not back to like a normal place with food yet. I mean, it just between that and the pandemic, it really did a number on my body and my ability to eat. And then again, you have like this combination of the ADHD and my medications. And so I'm still very much trying to find like a stable place with that. And what's been really nice is because of all of the work that I've done around food and body, like I haven't felt any guilt or anger towards myself about this. Like I've just been able to accept and be like, okay, this is where you are right now. And it's not ideal. It's maybe not your favorite place to be, but you're not going to be here forever. And we're here right now. And we're just going to do whatever we can to make sure that we're like getting enough food and we have enough energy to function. And that has been the priority. And I think the more grace that we can give ourselves when we find ourselves in these really hard life situations, like grief is a bitch and I cannot focus on having these amazing meals and doing all this cooking when I'm like barely holding it together a lot of days. So if anyone else out there has struggled with that, like you don't, I know it's easier said than done to not like blame yourself or feel like you should be doing better, but truly like the bar is not the same at all times. And like, you got to lower that bar really far down when you're struggling.
Yes. Well, I would say this is the metaphorical life hack of this particular thing, which is like, if you are hungry, you hate everyone else. If you are thirsty, you think everyone hates you. And if you hate yourself, you probably need to shower. And I say that sort of in jest, but I also say it in like legitimately, like you do not think clearly when your needs are not met. And so to like get further out of that hole, like to get further down the road, like it is so much easier to do that when you are at like full capacity. And the better you get to full capacity, it's going to be by meeting your needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also like, I feel like there's these like scare tactics of like, if you exist on fast food, if you exist on frozen food for, you know, let's say a period of time, that you're going to get like quote unquote addicted to this lifestyle. And that's absolutely not true. Like if you need to eat McDonald's for a month because you cannot cook, do that and eat. And when you're ready and you're back in the mindset of like feeling up to cooking, you will, like you'll get back to it. You're not going to get like, and the way that you do that is by like not shaming yourself and letting your own needs, because then you'll have the capacity to like do the work you need to do to get yourself back into the place. So
yeah,
life is ups and downs, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So we had a whole hodgepodge of health and beauty tips in there. And now we're going to move to our next sort of organizational section, which is relationships. And I don't mean just romantic relationships. I mean all interpersonal relationships. These are just some of our life hacks, basically, for being in relationship with other people. So, Allie, why don't you start us off with your excellent one that you shared?
Okay, this is one I've learned recently, you guys. And when I tell you, it makes a world of a difference. When you are like having a potential conflict with somebody, like you're having a conversation that is maybe starting to get a little bit like, all right, this seems like it might be a fight, take a minute and just clarify each person's point. Stop and say like, hey, this is what I think you're saying. Is that true? And have the other person do the same. Because I have realized after applying this to my life that, I don't know, 90% of fights happen because like one or both people have misunderstood what the other person is saying.
1,000%.
And it gets like out of hand so fast. And then like the other person gets defensive and then you get heated and then you kind of even lose the meaning of the argument. So for me, this has like nipped things in the bud, and it's been so like gratifying to be like, oh my gosh, I was taking something that you were saying not how you meant it. And then it was upsetting me when really I just didn't know what you were saying, or vice versa. So that for me has been like, I don't know, life-changing. Like it feels so much better to realize that you've just misunderstood something that somebody said than to like have it be a whole fight where you like it gets out of control and you lose whatever meaning you were initially going for and whatever.
I think it's so easy for people to forget that the way that we think about things is not the way how everybody else thinks about things. And the way that we approach conversation with other people comes from our whole entire past of like how our caregivers or parents treated us, or how our past relationships went, like all the different things we've learned about communication.
Yes.
And so it's really easy to hear something that the other person is not actually saying to you. And the only way to know is to ask them and to clarify. Yeah. And you have to be able to say, here's what I'm hearing. And a lot of times, like you were just saying, Allie, the other person will be like, whoa, oh my God, that's not what I was saying at all. And like, you just need the clarification. You just need the reassurance to be like, here's what I meant by what I was saying. And then you can kind of figure out each other's communication styles and like, oh, well, when this person says this, they mean this, even though this one person I dated, when they said this, it meant something totally different.
And especially early on with somebody, you know, like let's say you're starting a new relationship. If you do this early on, then you get a hand on this other person's communication style like so much quicker, because like you're saying, Shori, like nobody else has the same background that you do. So nobody else is going to like have the exact same communication style. And so I'll say like for me, a lot of my communication stems from a place of anxiety. And that's, you know, I have anxiety. I have been in, you know, a relationship that was not at all healthy. And so my communication style comes from a place of like, I don't want this other person to like think that I'm being too much or I'm too needy or I'm too whatever. And as a result of that, I can come off as very apathetic when that is like so the opposite of who I actually am inside. And so like, for example, let me say I was telling somebody, like I was saying, I don't care if you do this or that. And what I meant was like, I don't want you to feel obligated to do the thing that I want you to do. So I'm really okay if you don't want to do that thing. But I didn't communicate that. What I said with the words I used were like, I don't care. You can do this or you can do that. And that person like took a moment to be vulnerable and be like, hey, the way you're saying it, I get the sense that you're saying that you don't really want me around. And I was like, oh my God, no. Thank you for clarifying and asking me, because that is not at all what I meant. And that could have potentially been like a really hurtful fight. And it didn't have to be that, because I realized that I was like not getting my point across. So that's my tip. And it's been really helpful for me.
It is a really good tip.
Mm-hmm. I have to give credit. I don't want to do this, but I have to give credit to the person I'm dating, because I learned that from them. So I'm not saying I don't want to do it because I don't like them. It's just that I'm a brat and I want credit for everything. But
well, we all learn things from other people and then we can pass them on. So you can take credit for this episode's purposes.
It's my tip. I made it up. I'm smart.
I'm sure a bunch of therapists out there are listening like, yeah, we talk about this in therapy all the time.
Yeah, right. My therapist is listening to this being like, girl. But yes, I feel like it's a great tip. I feel like it's very helpful and it can save you a lot of grief if you're somebody that hates fighting, which I feel like is most people.
Yeah.
If you like fighting, maybe seek therapy.
I would say like the addendum life hack I would add to this is like, if you feel like your needs aren't getting met, be more like make a decision and stick to it, even in like the smallest circumstances. So when your friend or significant other or family member says, where do you want to go eat? And you say, I don't care. Like, no, bitch, you do care, but you are afraid to like let people know that you have an opinion or that your opinion is going to be wrong or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like easy to practice on doing that with big things if you've practiced on the little things. So like, even if it's like a really small thing, like when people ask your opinion on like, where are we going to go to dinner? Or, you know, do you want the blue one or do you want the red one? Like, pick, bitch, pick. Don't say I don't care.
And going off of that tip, I'm an indecisive bitch. So for me, what's actually easier is to start with what I know that I don't want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes it is. Yeah. It's like all the possibilities in the world. I'm like, how could I ever pick? And so sometimes it's easier just to be like, oh, we're going to dinner. Okay. I definitely don't want like pizza.
Yeah.
I definitely don't want Mexican or whatever.
Yeah.
And sometimes that just makes it easier than being like, all right, let me pick out of these like 1,000 choices.
Yeah.
It's also okay to say that you don't know if you really don't know. And sometimes like there are instances where you don't care, but I think being able to explain that and not shut down the conversation is the key to that. Like,
yeah.
You know, if someone asks you like, oh, where do you want to eat? And like, truly, you know that you're actually like pretty open to anything, but actually explaining that and being like, oh, you know, actually, like, I'm just really hungry and I'm feeling pretty open to anything right now. Is there anything that you're feeling or that you wouldn't want? And maybe I can help you narrow it down. Like, just because you don't care also doesn't mean that you then become like a passive
yes.
part of the conversation, because
yeah.
you can not care, but you can still help the other person narrow down the thing. Like, you can still contribute.
Yeah, you can be helpful without being like, you know, bossy or decisive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of the same principle as like what you were saying about taking a pause and re-explaining to the other person. It's all about like clarifying the initial statement versus just letting it hang there and be interpreted by both people differently.
Yes. I feel like that's a sign of maturity. Emotional maturity is like, because it's a little bit vulnerable, I think, sometimes to like really explain yourself.
It's oh, super vulnerable.
I feel like for me, I operated for such a long time out of this place of like, I didn't want to show my cards or my hand or whatever. Like, I didn't want to put myself out there. And so the way I communicated really came off that way. It's just so like disinterested and uncaring, like, oh, I don't care what happens either way. And like deep down inside, I'd be like, I care so much, you guys. I care deeply what happens in this situation. Well, the good news is that now I don't have a problem being like, I do care. So
yeah. I mean, I think that society teaches us early on, especially if you have been raised in a disadvantaged space, like we are taught not to have opinions. Like our opinions are not as valid as other people's. And so like to have and express an opinion is vulnerable.
It opens you up to rejection.
It's risky.
Yeah. Yeah, there's inherent risk because you don't know how the other person's going to respond. And if you have a past where people responded poorly to you giving your opinion, then that's where a lot of this can stem from, where then it gets really scary to say that because you have actual proof that in the past how people have responded in a really shitty way to you when you do.
Yeah, and just to be clear, if anybody's making you feel like your needs are less important, they're wrong and they need to leave and go away.
Yeah, red flag central.
Was that a like police siren?
You would like to redo that sentence?
No, I loved it.
Hey y'all, let me take a moment to tell you a little bit more about Ample and Rooted, an inclusive therapy practice that is directed by my dear friend and colleague Nethery Falchuk. The awesome practitioners at Ample and Rooted not only serve folks locally here in Austin, they also serve folks online all over the globe. Through therapy, mindfulness practices, courses, trainings, and events, they support, guide, and hold space for folks to feel valued and nourished. We talk a lot about systems of oppression on the show and how they can disconnect you from your inner knowing. And the Ample and Rooted group believes it is your birthright to both inhabit and trust your physical and emotional self without shame. Luckily for y'all, the kind folks at Ample and Rooted created an exclusive guided meditation on cultivating self-trust for listeners of Conjuring Up Courage. You can access the free guided meditation and learn more about Ample and Rooted in the show notes for this episode.
I want to talk about one of my favorite life hacks, which is taking advantage of the phone contacts. I don't know what it's like on Android. I assume it's very similar to on iPhone. But on iPhone, obviously, you have all these different things that you can fill in a phone contact. And so I use them to remember so much stuff. So first of all, something that I've been doing lately is I've been putting in all of my friends' pronouns into the phone contacts. And I like to do this is as part of the last name. So I just do like parentheses after their last name with whatever the pronouns are. So Allie's, yours says she, her. Tiff's, yours says she, they. And this is especially helpful if a friend changes their pronouns so that you don't forget and you can remember.
Yeah.
It's really helpful if you have a friend who uses multiple sets of pronouns so that you can remember that they like to have more than one used. So if you're communicating with them, you can see it immediately. So there's no way you're going to forget. So it's just a really good way of getting someone's pronouns down. And I do it for everybody, not just people who aren't the pronouns that you would maybe think that they are. Which is
not
like a silly thing.
Yeah,
exactly. Like I do it for everybody because like anyone can use any pronouns. And so I think it's important to remember that, like, even if it's someone you've known forever who's always used the same pronouns, I still have those in my phone. So that's one thing you can do with your phone contacts. I do like to put email addresses in my phone contacts because it's just a little bit easier when I'm trying to send an email from Gmail or something like that. My phone already knows who I am trying to email. So I'll put those in there. Addresses, y'all. People never do this. I put everyone's address in their phone contacts and people are always like, oh, that's so smart. And I'm like, yeah, if I want to mail somebody something, I want their address. If I'm going to go visit somebody, I want to be able to copy it into Google Maps, be able to go to them.
Especially people whose houses you don't go to regularly.
Yeah.
Where you're like,
guys, I still don't remember y'all's addresses. I just put it into Apple Maps. I legitimately don't.
Like, Tim, I know where you live and I still map it every time because I'm like, what if I get halfway there and I forget?
I think it just depends where you're going, how close they are, if you're going to use it or not. But, you know, I have friends who like they're in a gated community or an apartment complex. So I have like the gate code, you know, in the notes in the contact so that I don't have to ask them every time, hey, what is the gate code? So I have that in there. And then birthdays, y'all, you put the birthdays in the contacts and my contacts in my Google Calendar are connected. So I actually have like a separate birthdays calendar in my Google Calendar, but even if I didn't, they get pulled in from my phone. So I never forget anybody's birthday. It allows you to put in the year. So if I know exactly how old they are, then I can realize like, oh, when is it a big birthday coming up and stuff like that. So just take advantage of those phone contacts. I've just found that so helpful. And I keep all kinds of information for different people in their contact. And then I don't have to ask them every time for that stuff. If I want to like surprise them with some mail, or I want to make sure that I'm wishing them a happy birthday. Cause like, I'm not using fucking Facebook anymore, where people used to know everybody's birthdays because you're on Facebook every day.
People don't have their birthdays on Facebook anymore. Yeah,
I don't have my birthdays on Facebook anymore because my birthday, I only have one. I don't have it on Facebook anymore because I just thought it was so annoying, honestly, to have a bunch of people say happy birthday who never otherwise talk to me. And like, they would literally just say happy birthday. I found that more depressing than anything. So I was like, took my birthday off of Facebook.
I agree. I think it's depressing. I don't know if some people like it, but for me, it's like, I think also our generation is like kind of done with Facebook. So
exactly.
The only people that say happy birthday to me on Facebook are people that like, I don't talk to because my real life friends will just text me
exactly.
or call me. But yeah, it's like a bunch of notifications that I don't want to deal with, where I have to be like, hey,
thank you.
Yeah. And it's people that like, I don't wish them happy birthday because you're I don't know. I'm a jerk. I don't wish strangers happy birthdays.
Why would you? If they're not your friend or colleague or something, it's like, who cares?
It's like, you don't go around walking like to strangers in real life saying happy birthday. I mean,
exactly.
It's like, okay, oh yeah, we're at like the Jungle Cafe and there's somebody singing happy birthday to them. It's like, you don't go up to them later and be like, dude, happy birthday.
Yeah,
what is the Jungle Cafe, Tiffany?
Rainforest Cafe, I'm sorry.
I was about to say, I was like, is she trying to refer to the Rainforest Cafe?
I just accepted it. I was like, yeah, the Jungle Cafe.
But also like, who remembers the fucking Rainforest Cafe? I used to go there for so many birthdays and stuff as a kid at the mall.
Oh my God. I feel like even as a child, I was not the target audience for the Rainforest Cafe. I don't know. That place creeps me out. It smells weird.
It does smell weird.
It does smell weird. Yeah. I feel like all the food they give you is like soggy because I just feel like everything in the Rainforest Cafe is wet.
Yeah, that's true. There is like a humidity level going on in there. Well, I don't even know if it exists anymore. I assume it's gone like bankrupt by now.
Weird and jarring because then you step out and you're inside the mall and you're like,
yeah,
how did I get here?
I'm not in the rainforest. What?
I thought I was in the middle of Africa. I don't know where the rainforest is, you guys.
I mean, I was going to say the Amazon. So
rainforests on the continent of Africa in specific places.
I've literally been to the Amazonian rainforest. I'm an idiot.
So phone contacts, that's where I'm at. And then Tiff, I know that you have some thoughts about like taking notes while people talk.
I am. I think I learned this either from like my marriage therapist or if it was like, I don't know, a book on ADHD or something, you know, is like, so taking notes while people talk of like the talking points that you're going over and like kind of forcing your brain to keep track of what is happening in the conversation so that if you lose your train of thought, like I want to do, you can go back to it. Mm-hmm. And it works kind of like the circle back around to like you get to the end of a conversation. You're like, okay, here are the things that you said. You're reviewing what people have said when they're done to make sure that they understand that you understood.
Yeah.
It's a good way to practice that, but for yourself. I guess it's not really so much a life hack as it's much as like a reminder that like there are a lot of things that we did in younger days that we didn't carry through into adulthood that will serve us pretty well.
Well, it's also a reminder that it's okay, right? Because I am sure that there are some people out there who are like, oh, people will think it's so weird if I were to take notes. And I think some people would. There are some people out there who would be like, no, of course you can't take notes. Why can't you just be in this conversation? And they don't realize that like brains work differently.
Yeah,
and for some people, it's really helpful to be able to write things down. Like, you know, both you and I have ADHD, Tiff, and like our memory is shit. And especially in a heated situation or like even like a hard work situation, it can be even harder to have that short-term memory working. So it's nice if you have these notes. And again, going back to what Allie was saying before, like, right, this adds opportunity for clarification and for making it less likely that you're going to misunderstand because you don't remember exactly what the person said or what the points they were trying to make. And for me, I always think that anything is fair game if it's going to help the relationship and help communication, even if maybe someone thinks it's weird. There's no one right way to communicate. Like, it doesn't literally just have to be like you sit down and talk and those are the only options. Like, there are other possibilities out there. And if it helps your partner or your colleague or your friend to be able to be in communication with you and have a better relationship than like, I want whatever that is. And I'm not going to judge somebody because I'm like, oh, well, that's not my preferred communication style.
Yeah. Well, and like being willing to adapt to your communication partner's communication needs, like that is a sign of being respectful of that other person and listening to what they are. It shows the signs of, you know, a healthy understanding of interpersonal communication. Some people are better at it than others. And it's certainly something that takes a while to learn, like not the taking notes thing. Like that's, you just take notes. But just being more mindful and intentional about your communication with other people, that just takes a lot of practice. And taking notes is just one way of participating in the conversation. Like another way to work better for somebody else.
And the thing about taking notes that is intriguing for me is that it actually forces you to stay present because you're trying to take notes. So your mind can't like wander off because then you can't take the notes. So it's also a good way of keeping you in the moment to make sure you're actively listening to what the person is saying.
Yeah. I mean, I picked it up originally when I was in a journalism situation, and like taking notes is kind of the thing, right? Like you have to take notes of what people are saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I take notes all the time while I'm interviewing people for the podcast because I want to remember my thought or like what the next question I wanted to ask was.
And it doesn't have to necessarily be a part of your job. It can be a part of your daily life. Like I like to have a notes of conversations to go back to. And, you know, it's like when you're talking about projects with friends or you're talking about, like Ali said, like it could be a really heated conversation. For example, when your ADHD friend goes off on her little tangent, you can circle back around and get the conversation back on track. We think of taking notes like it has to be done in a very specific setting. And I think it's not true. Like, you can use it all the time.
Cool. I feel like we did some good coverage there on some relationship life hacking. And we've got one more general topic. And I'm just calling this organization, but it's really just kind of, I don't know, life organizing, cleaning, whatever type stuff. Going into the hodgepodge of all the stuff that we're talking about. My brain is starting to die. It's been a long fucking day. I'm like, words are coming out my mouth.
My brain has been operating from, I don't know, a place of chaos.
Yeah, it's a lot. All right, so Tiffy, you have some cool thoughts about Discord servers.
Okay. In the same way that Shori was talking about your phone contacts, like making life easy for yourself in a way that is easily accessible to you. Because I mean, we all have like our phones sort of like stuck to ourselves these days. And I'm not sure how familiar people are with the Discord app, but it's like free. You can like communicate in channels with your friends. And I learned this tip, I think, from Tumblr, which of course is fandom. And like most people have Discord servers where like they talk to a bunch of people and they're like, make yourself a Discord server. Make yourself like it's just you, but it's like a free way to create like channels and stuff. So I use it to like a way to organize random shit in my phone or in my life. But it's like I can have different channels for the different things I need to keep track of. And it's just something that is free and I can just open it up on my phone and type it in. It's like I'm talking to myself, but I have a written account of it. That is really a good way of describing it. It's just I'm talking to myself. I have the channel for like screenshots, inspirational shit that I see on Instagram. And I've got like a to-do list and like a grocery shopping list channel. And it's a good way if I need to take a picture of something and like I want to remember like the price of something at Home Depot or something. I just shove it all there and it's all organized by like category. So it's easier to find. And Discord lets you search for things. So you can search in your channels. So if I need to like search for a specific keyword, which I'll talk about later, you could do that in Discord. It's a really useful app. You should try it.
Yeah. And like I use Evernote for the same purpose, but in order to get a lot of the features that you've just mentioned, I essentially had to pay for Evernote Pro to get some of those kind of deeper features. So Discord is a really good option for people if you're looking for something free where you can do a lot of that stuff, because I use my shit for work as well. I just pay for Evernote Pro and that keeps me super organized. I've talked before on the podcast about how I use Google Drive and email folders. Like basically like figure out how you need to organize your shit, especially if you can't find things all the time, you're losing stuff and you want to keep stuff in some kind of a structure. Like, I am someone who, if I do not have that structure, everything goes to chaos. And so I have to have this very like intense organizational system where there's like the notebook and then the notes under it and then like the sub notes and favorites and searching and all of these things, because without it, I would lose my entire head. So I love it, Tiff. All right, Allie, tell us the wonders of color coding your life.
Okay. Just from a visual perspective, I feel like it helps me if everything is color coded. So for example, in my planner, I do my planner by hand, which is perhaps a bit controversial, but I like it. It's better for me. So I break everything down into categories in my planner because I like to track, like, obviously appointments, social engagements, different like classes, workouts, everything like that. So like all of my appointments are blue. All of my social engagements are orange. All of my aerial related things are green. I just have different. And then I like carry that through to like sticky notes. If I need to like put a reminder somewhere, I'm like, okay, it's a blue sticky note. It's an appointment reminder. I feel like I've just carried this from high school because I always did this in high school too. Like all of my subjects would be color coded. So I just have continued to do that in adulthood. And then it's just easier for my brain to be able to like look at my planner and be like, oh, I have an appointment this day because there's something in blue on this day in my planner.
I have that electronically. I mean, so like, because I use Google Calendar instead of a written planner. And mm-hmm. Yeah, the calendars have a different color for that reason, because it triggers your brain to be like, oh, this is a work thing. This is whatever, like whatever your calendars are. And so I've always found that really helpful. So it makes total sense to me that you found a way to do that in a like written planner.
Yeah, which... they can tell you I've gone back and forth on the like, I don't know, I can't wrap my head around electronic planners. I'm also not an inherently like organized person. It's not that I'm not organized. I think I'm an overbooker is my problem. I don't like saying no. I want to do everything in the world. So I'm always like, I can do this. I can do 800 things on one day.
I also struggle with this.
So it's also helpful to like look at my planner and just see like, oh, there's already something like in orange on Saturday, which means like I already have a social engagement. And so probably I'm not going to be able to do two social engagements. I feel like most people know this already, but color coding, it's a big thing.
I mean, the thing about life hacks is that like a lot of people know things and then someone will hear it and be like, fuck, I never thought I could apply that in this way. So you just never know who's listening
honestly,
out there.
That was what I was going to say. Like,
Tiff didn't know about the Q-tips.
I didn't know the Q-tips. I also never had thought about carrying the color coding into other aspects of your life, because like in my mind, my calendar on Google Drive electronically is somehow separate from like me making sticky note reminders on my bathroom mirror. Like that never occurred to me.
There you go.
Yeah,
it's already helping, Tiff.
Wow, you're welcome.
we went from no one will use this to you're welcome.
You're welcome. Yeah. It's a little like imposter syndrome for me where I'm like, I'm not like a, I don't know, life organized kind of person. So I'm like, there's nothing that is in my brain that other people don't know already. But maybe that's not true.
Not true. All right. So I'll add a couple of things here. These are around two products that I am a big fan of. I'm going to give my sister credit for the first one, which is something called a cord bundler. She will die laughing when she knows that I've put this into here. So there are these things that you can buy. They're called cord bundlers. And you can stick them on anything that has a long cord so that you can wrap the cord and it will keep it nice and organized on the back of the thing. So I put these on like all of my kitchen appliances and they are amazing because it is so annoying when you have cords around everywhere and they don't have any place to go. And it's, again, seems like a really simple thing. They're inexpensive. I just like bought a couple of 6-packs of them off of Amazon and I have put them on so many things in my house. So cord bundlers, awesome. And then the other thing is that like I'm a Dawn dish soap stan and Dawn is better than all other dish soaps. If you disagree, I will come for you. It literally works better. This isn't like a, oh, this was the brand my parents used and so I'm committed to it and I haven't actually tested the others. No, Dawn is better. I have had people try to buy other brands and have to have conversations with them about, no, Dawn only. Also, the commercials with the ducks. Hello, so cute. Saving the ducks from the oil spills. I love them. Tugs at my heartstrings.
It does me too.
I know. Totally. It breaks my freaking heart. And the reason they use the Dawn on the duckies is because it works. It can literally get oil spills off of the duck's feathers.
I'm so here for this.
Yeah. So, okay. So Dawn in general, but if you already knew that, may I introduce you to Dawn Power Wash? Okay. So Dawn makes a product that is like a spray bottle. It's called Power Wash. And it's like an extra super concentrated, more powerful version of Dawn. So what you can do is if you have a dish that's like soiled with food or has baked on crap on it, you spray the Power Wash on it. If it doesn't have very much, you can just immediately wipe it off. And if there is a decent amount of it, you can let it sit for a few minutes before wiping it off. But it makes doing dishes so much easier. It's also amazing if you are like me and you accidentally spill on yourself all the time, because like I'm constantly having to try to get oil stains out of my clothing because I'll spill like salad dressing on myself. And getting oil stains out freaking sucks. And the Power Wash works really, really well on oil stains. So I will like spray that in, rub it in, and then wash the clothing. So sending that out into the universe for adults who have to clean shit. Dawn is your friend, and Dawn Power Wash is an excellent thing to have in the kitchen. I usually get mine at Target, but I'm sure it is available at many other places.
I didn't know that either. I didn't know that there was a thing called the Dawn Power Wash that gets oil stains out of clothing.
It's so
Do you know
good.
How many shirts I have let go into the universe because they had an oil stain on the tits?
Yeah. They're always tit oil stains too. Always. Like it's always right between my boobs. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, because when you think about it, like, directly down from your mouth is your boobs.
Yeah, and it's because I like eat slumped on the couch with the bowl over my chest like a gremlin.
That'll do it.
It's because I don't eat like a proper lady.
I spill in my lap a lot. Like I always have stains on like the crotch area of my jeans.
That too.
So I don't know what that says about how I eat, but
I eat like a gremlin. You ate like a toadstool. I don't know.
A toadstool?
That's the only word coming to mind. I told you it's late and I'm tired. My brain isn't working anymore.
Okay. Fair enough. I don't know if I know what a toadstool is, I'm gonna be honest.
A toadstool, it's a kind of mushroom.
A mushroom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I eat like a mushroom. Okay.
But like toadstools are like in fantasy stuff. I don't know. It was literally just the thing that came into my brain because I was like, all right, a gremlin and something else.
Trying to figure out how you would eat like a toadstool.
Don't think too hard about it. Just don't think too hard about it, okay?
We're stuck on this. We're like, no, this doesn't make sense.
No. Okay. You know what does make sense, though? That Tiff is going to teach us something very important that I'm excited to learn, which is how to Google things properly.
Okay. See, here's the thing is I am legitimately 100% certain that you know how to do this. You just don't know that you're doing it because I know that you know shit about SEO and I know that you guys know shit about this kind of thing. But like,
and we also all took classes like in high school or whatever where they taught us the proper way to search. We just stopped doing it.
This is the thing. Yeah, nobody does it. Nobody does it because they didn't actually do the reading. That's what happened. okay, so hacking your Google searches, and I don't mean like the movie Hackers, I mean like using search terms to your advantage. So
don't
like
steal people's bank account information or identities. No. Please,
that was
thank
my
you.
Life hack is dark web shit. Fraud.
Okay, look, I don't want to have to deal with the FBI for this episode. So to my FBI agent who is watching, this is an Ally and Tiffany thing. I'm not involved, so you can question
my FBI
them.
Agent already knows what's up, Bill.
So the thing about Googling is that the more information that you put into Google, the better. The more specific you get, the easier it will fit into the Google algorithm and spit out the results that you want. If you are Googling, you want to do specific things in order to get certain either words in or words out. Or the other thing that you want to do is limit the pool of information that you are drawing from. I'm not going to be able to tell you like a ton of them, but here's just a couple. If you are trying to find a specific thing on a website, type in the website and then put a colon after it and then type what you're looking for. So like if you go to Pottery Barn and you are looking for a dresser and you want it to be a specific type of wood, you would say potterybarn.com:, and then put in teak wood dresser. And it will pull up all of the teak wood dresser results just from PotteryBarn.com. They'll take Fancy. A whole shitload of things out there. Okay, this works really well if you're using Google Drive or like Gmail. If you are trying to find a Google document owned by a specific person, if they're, you know, their email or their like Gmail. If I need to find stuff from that Shorey sent me, I put in like, I search for like Shorey's email address in Gmail, like, and it will only pull up things that Shorey has sent me. Mm-hmm. But like, if you're on Google Drive and you need to find, like, if you've shared a document with me, you can say owner colon and then put Shorey's name and it'll pull up all the documents that you have shared with me.
Nice.
If you are trying to find, say you're looking for that same Teakwood dresser on like a whole shitload of sites, but you want it to just pull up Teakwood and dresser, you put Teakwood plus sign dresser and it will specifically look for Teakwood dressers, not dressers and Teakwood. And then the two combined, it'll actually just specifically look for Teakwood dressers. You can use like words in the same way. If you just put in Teakwood dresser, fine. But you can put Teakwood, the word and then dresser. So you're putting up like Teakwood and dresser. Or if you were, say, making a Teakwood dresser, you would say Teakwood for dresser, like being specific in the combination word that you use. It's like making the pool smaller so that it's a lot easier to find the thing that you're looking for. You can like search for just say like tips on Googling.
I'm sure there are cheat sheets, yeah, that are available for this.
Yeah, there are cheat sheets out there. Look them up and use them because it will make your life so much easier.
Tiff, let me tell you, I know how to Google properly and I refuse to do it because
why?
I don't know why. I don't know what it is, but I am an 80-year-old person that types entire sentences into Google.
I mean,
like, I'll be like,
sometimes hey, you want to ask a question into Google and that makes like, sense.
What's that scene in Parks and Rec where Jerry's like, he's like trying to Google something and he goes to like ask Jeeves and like, he's like, hi, could you please take me to my email or something? Like, that's how I Google. Like, I'm like, hi, Google, what's that song that goes like da 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 da?
Do you put hi, Google?
Maybe. Okay, here's my other thing. I am extremely polite to technology because I feel like I've seen Maximum Overdrive, okay? Like, I know where this goes. And so I am incredibly polite. It stresses me out when people call their Siri like a bitch or something, or they're like mean to Siri. Like, I know Siri's not a real person, but Siri is also like an all-powerful robot, okay? So I don't trust her. So when I talk to I have like a Google Home or something, I always say please and thank you.
I say thank you to the Google Home too, like every time, even though I know it's not even listening anymore after
no,
it says
is. First of all, it is because they're always listening. So it hears you. It knows that you said thank you.
I hate talking to technology. I hate it.
Like, and I don't just mean this in like a paranoid way. I mean that they have to always be listening because they have to know when you say like the trigger
word. Yeah, you're right. That's true.
So they have to know when you say like, okay, Google or hey, Alexa or whatever. So they know that you thank them for doing things.
And they'll be less likely to take us over with mind control.
Exactly.
Okay.
And my Google, like, I swear, I feel like whenever I try to show this to people, it doesn't happen. But I swear to God, when I ask her to do things and I ask politely, she plays this happy music and she goes, it's so nice of you to ask me that way. Okay. So she appreciates it.
What? Mine has never done that.
Yes. Literally, I'll be like, okay, Google, could you please play some music on Spotify? And my Google goes, do, 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 do. It's so nice of you to ask me that way. Sure.
Okay, now I'm going to try to get mine to do that because I'm so intrigued.
My Google appreciates it and we're friends and she likes me. And so when other people come to my house and they're not nice to my Google, I'm like, you need to leave because...
Allie literally making this up right now and I'm going to spend hours trying to get my Google to do this and it's
not
real.
I am not making it up. I am not making... I will record it happening because I am not making it up.
She literally... need proof.
She literally thanks me for asking her politely, which first of all makes me be like, how many people are so mean to their Googles that like this poor girl is thanking me for saying please? But anyway, yeah, I do say hi to Google because Google would like to be greeted, okay? I want to be nice to everybody so that when the technology takes over, my life is spared because they're like, this bitch said please and thank you.
There's no better point to end this podcast on. I don't even think I could continue with anything else if I wanted to.
That's my life hack. Be nice to your fucking Google and Alexa and Siri. Like, be nice to them because you...
But that's actually like a legit thing because honestly, like, I personally think like the way we talk to others and the way we talk to ourselves, even inanimate objects, like, has an effect in our brains.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Like, there's like definitely like a sexism and misogyny to the fact that most of these devices have like women's voices. Yes. The way that sometimes people feel they can talk to them. So yeah, even though of course it is funny that we say like please and thank you to them, it's because that's how I talk to real humans.
Yes,
and so I also am concerned about anyone who is speaking to their devices
absolutely.
In a really shitty way.
Absolutely. Unless it's like a, you know, some sort of one-off where you're just like in a really bad mood and you're like, no, Siri, why did you do that or something? But
right.
Yeah, it's almost like watching how people treat other people is like how kinda. Maybe this is like a little too like woo-woo.
We've gone real deep.
But I don't trust people that are mean to their technological devices. So
I think that's a fair line to draw in the sand personally. So,
and I'll have the last laugh when Maximum Overdrive happens in real life. So mm-hmm. Do you guys know that movie? Have you seen it?
I've never seen it.
Oh my God. What? Okay. We have to watch it.
Girl gang movie night.
It's a really old, like cheesy movie where all the technology comes to life and it's like trying to kill people. And it's like an 18-wheeler becomes sentient and is like running people over.
Okay. I have heard of this movie. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
My mom really loves it. So I've seen it a bunch.
This, we can have that and Barbarella.
Oh, yes. That's right. We do need to have Barbarella time.
Yes.
All right, listeners. Well, hopefully we gave you some inspiration for some life hacking out there. And if we didn't, then hopefully you don't feel like you just wasted an hour and a half of your life. But if you do, can't help you.
It's so, never a waste of time with us.
We love it.
We're all hackers together now.
Yeah. Just hacking the world, banks. All right, everyone. It's fucking late. We're losing our minds over here. Hope you enjoyed another round of Girl Gang fun. I'm sure that Tiff and Allie will be back before you know it for more nonsense. And we hope you have a great fucking week.
Bye. We ever, like, hit a place where people are like, please no more Girl Gang episodes.
It could happen. It could happen.
Okay, anyway, sorry. Bye.
Right, bye.
Bye.
And that's our show for today. If you're enjoying Conjuring Up Courage, don't forget to subscribe through your podcast provider of choice so you never miss an episode. Additionally, if you haven't left a rating and review in the Apple Podcasts app yet, you can do so from any Apple device to help more people find and benefit from the show. I also love hearing from listeners, so feel free to take a screenshot from your podcast player, post on social media, and tag me. My username is @ShoreDavity on all platforms. Finally, you can sign up for my email newsletter, The Sunday Share, and get more details about how to work with me by going to shoredavity.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you'll join me for the next episode.